Imbiv narrowly avoids a strike.
Some more deliciousness coming from Stone.
What's better than a shot and a beer? Beer and pizza.
This is It's All Beer. Welcome to It's All Beer. For those of you who can't be bothered to read your beer news, how would you like it vomited into your ear holes in long, meandering, drunken rants punctuated by random bursts of anger? It's All Beer. We make reading fundamental, or at least less annoying. I'm Jeremy Jones.
I'm Tyler Zimmerman, and I think that's the best one. That is your chef's kiss, Jeremy.
I'm glad you enjoyed that. How are you today, Tyler?
I am doing good, Jeremy. How are you?
That was created because I think there's going to be a little bit of extra anger in this episode for a couple of reasons. Number one, we're talking about one of your favorite beers, as we teased in the headlines. And number two, I picked a beer for this episode based solely because it annoys me. But what are you drinking first?
I am drinking Sockeye Brewing's Morning Provisions Coffee Lager. I like coffee beers. Especially, I feel I have a strong propensity to gravitate towards coffee beers that aren't necessarily stouts or porters. Hence my massive love affair with Java the Hop. So
that is still one of my favorite, like, weird ass beers. I was so excited when they re-released it last year, and was sad that ended up having to discount like the last little bit because as much fun and as good as that beer is, it's a tough sell, actually.
Yes, this just an easy drinking coffee amber lager, so. I like it. Good coffee flavor. Light. Goes down like a fat kid on a seesaw.
I picked up the Boss Rambler Pineapple and Anchovy Double Dry Hop Murky IPA.
What the fuck? Why?
It features...
Why? Just why?
Which part? What part of the why? Which why?
Pineapple, anchovy, murky. I'm trying to think whatever other adjective they included in that. What the fuck made you think that was a fucking good idea?
It's not the... So here's why it annoys me, and here's my objection to it. It actually contains anchovy, but not in what you'd think. They named a fucking hop anchovy. There is an anchovy hop.
Are there?
It's fairly new. I first saw it on a IPA from, if I'm not mistaken, Bearded Iris. A regular brought that in from his Tavor hall. I think it was Bearded Iris, but it was a collaboration a brewery did back east, and it had
no shit. There is a fucking hop called anchovy from Siegel Ranch. It's experimental hop 24B-05.
You thought I was lying to you? Did you think that I would make that up at this point in time?
No, I mean.
And I remember I first saw that it was on a frankly ridiculous list of hops because they had like 12 different types of hops, which is just absurd. But I'm like, I looked at that the first time, like anchovy. Did they name a hop anchovy? And as you said in your own incredulous way, yes. To which I want to say, what the actual fuck is the matter with you?
Like, so, the hop farm did not name it.
Who did? Because I want to send a flaming bag of dog poop to that guy's door.
You can thank Matt Storm and Brian Strump from Fast Fashion Brewing in Seattle. Fast Fashion was the first brewery to ever sponsor Acreage, So they've been the only folks to get to brew with this hop prior to the 2023 hop crop becoming available. So Fast Fashion describes it as a watermelon hard candy, raspberry, and pine. It is now available. But yeah.
I must be getting out because this is a collaboration that Boss Rambler did with Pure Project. But you know what? What were their names again?
Matt Storm and Brian Strump from Fast Fashion Brewing in Seattle.
Matt Storm, Brian Strump, you are cordially invited to go fuck yourselves because I now have to explain probably multiple times because it's going to pop up in multiple beers that anchovy is a hop and not actual anchovies. All right?
You know they 100% did it just to fuck with people.
And while I applaud those efforts, I truly do. But one of the people they're fucking with is me. And so my response to that is go fuck yourselves.
I mean, on Yakima Valley Hops website, they do have a fish picture on it too, so it's fucking you hilarious. Might... Like they're like
Why would you fucking do that? Because listen, those are the customers that at least ask me what is this about? I go, anchovy's a hop now. Never mind the many, many people who probably looked at the beer, said, pineapple anchovy? What the fuck is the matter with people? And moved on.
Well, I would have.
Yeah, so. Most people probably have. Now, as for the actual beer, I don't get like melon off of it. Hold on, let me take another sip.
Yeah, watermelon, hard candy, raspberry, and pine.
In this particular, so it features anchovy, moteca, and mosaic cryo. I get your basic run-of-the-mill hazy IPA flavors. Citrus, mango, papaya, maybe like soft melon, a little bit of like apricot or something in there. Maybe with the power of suggestion, yeah, I'm picking up some like the candy-esque flavors. But I just wanted to start the day off with a rant and I didn't think I'd be able to name the people I wanted to go say go fuck yourself, but it feels good that I can right now. So with the random burst of anger already out of the way, Tyler, do you want to get us started today?
Yeah, we're going back to our good old friends, Anheuser-Busch.
Tyler, is what you're about to tell me going to further put me down the path of actually feeling sorry for them? Because I'm really disturbed with this trend.
I mean, it's not bad news. It's not good news. So I'll let you be the judge.
Okay.
Last week, Jeremy talked about how there's a looming strike happening with Anheuser-Busch and their Houston.
Well, that was Miller or Molson Coors. The walkout.
Molson Coors.
The walkout was actually Molson Coors. It was the Teamsters Union that was staging it. But they also had personnel in several Anheuser-Busch facilities that was almost certain to strike, but something has happened.
Yes. So Anheuser-Busch and the Teamster Union have reached a tentative contract agreement that averts the strikes. Which, hold on. Sorry, I keep getting distracted because my phone is getting blown up because I texted my boss the link to that hop, and I was like, we should do this in one of our next beers. and he goes, we 100% should. That's Brian Strunks or whatever the fuck his name is from this place named it like, blah, 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 and just starts like sending me basically a paragraph, but in like one sentence increment text messages. So my phone's just going boop, 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 boop.
Is my saying go fuck yourself blowing up a collaboration project possibility for you?
I don't know, but dude, there is like Just, I have a stack of text messages sitting there.
The question, the question is, how long before we get a hot hop named Little Wet, Little Drippy?
Oh, I'm going to try to sponsor Acreage.
Look, you can't see it, but the look of delight that just crossed Tyler's face right now, I now have a vague idea what it looked like when his daughter was conceived.
Fair enough. Well, sorry we got distracted. The Teamsters saved the deal will grant members an immediate $4 an hour pay raise and an $8 an hour increase over the life of the contract, raising pay of their members by an average of 23%. They both reached this deal this evening. This is an article from CNN from 7:56 Eastern time tonight, so 5:56 Mountain time. Both sides praise the deal and say, you know, it sets a high standard in the brewing industry, blah, 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 corporate jerk-off, blah, 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 blah. Some other key components of the deal. It includes critical job security for members, as well, in addition to the pay increase hourly, members will get a $2,500 signing bonus, increased vacation accrual, and the union described as a restoration of retirement benefits for both active and retired members. It still needs to be ratified by the rank and file Teamsters, at the company before it can take effect, but basically coming in before the contract expired and the strike were set to take place on Thursday. So
I know. So reading up, this is how fast this story moved. At about 5 o'clock this evening, I checked the news again. I was going to do a strike update, fully expecting to just do an update and have it be imminent. And as soon as I closed the story, jotted down some notes, said, watch, these idiots are gonna make me look stupid by coming to a decision. So we're recording this on Wednesday, February 28th. It's not dropping until March 1st. And I was going, watch them make me look stupid by announcing something on the 29th. So I appreciate them actually doing it. And also, and thanks for checking. But my question, the question I was going to say was, one of the big provisions was that was job security. That was one of the things that tied up negotiations going forward. They wanted to be sure that Anheuser-Busch would not close any of their facilities going forward. Did it say anything about that?
Outside of just the, it includes critical job security for members.
Okay. So that might be what it's
doesn't get into anything for like what that critical job security is.
Well, if the job security is if the job security was addressed, because that was the deal in the previous contract, and it was a bit of a sticking point going forward, as AB InBev perhaps finds themselves not as in need of production as they once were.
Yeah, and it does say that the deal they put on the table yesterday was ignoring those key issues of job securities, but looks like they reached a deal on that and don't have to worry about employees not showing up.
So you'll still be able to get your Budweiser and Michelob Ultra and yay.
Ella and yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jeremy, what do we got next?
Everyone wants to be fucking Voodoo Ranger news now.
Woo!
I came across this article in Forbes, and it's one of those headlines when you read it. When I read the headline, I say to myself, well, That headline made me angry enough to guzzle acid and spit it into a nun's face, but the article itself is probably fine, and it's not. Tyler, you've gone on record numerous times about your love of Stone's delicious IPA, right?
Wow, fuck that beer. Fuck that beer.
Well, did you know?
It could have been such a great beer if they didn't fucking gluten reduce it, or if they just called out that it was gluten reduced and you didn't have to go fucking triumphing through their fucking website to find that it was gluten reduced and that's why it had the fucking shit body and they ruined a great tasting beer featuring El Dorado hops.
I just want everybody to know, if you're not aware, that Tyler tried that beer, what, almost five...
2014?
Yeah, I was going to say 10 years ago. And that
oh
level,
my God.
That level of anger is, is where he's at now. He's still pissed off about that. Well, Tyler, did you know that the delicious IPA is just the tip of a very subpar iceberg? Because we now have the Stone Delicious IPA, the Stone Double Delicious Double IPA, the Delicious Citrus IPA, and now finally what you've just all been waiting for, the Stone Delicious Hazy IPA.
No. Nope.
To quote Aaron Smith, the senior vice president of marketing for Sapporo Stone, quote, "We see incredible potential for this brand family and recognize the hazy IPA category is the one that continues to grow. We believe that the Stone Delicious name is strong enough that people will be drawn to it for a variety of different styles with the pleasantly mundane a heart pounding intensity of an afternoon at the laundromat." Okay, I added that.
I really hope whoever thought this was a good idea gets taken out into the desert and stoned to death with full beer cans of the delicious IPA.
Now gets stoned to death with cans of Keystone, just to make the point more. But going back to the quote.
Fine with me.
Furthermore, yeah. This beer gives us the opportunity to create a Stone Delicious mixed 12-pack with three beers of each variety. Now Stone Delicious offers a classic West Coast style, a double IPA, a fruit IPA, and a hazy IPA. Truly something delicious for everyone. The delicious IPA, the delicious hazy IPA, joins its 9 siblings for a grand total of 10 IPAs.
There's 9 of those fucking inbred crotch goblin motherfuckers?
Only 4. I'm talking about there's 10 IPAs currently packaged by Stone and out on the market. IPA as a category is projected to exceed 70 million in 2025 from 33 million in 2018. So the demand is there, but with every brewery vomiting up like 5 different combinations of hops and maybe a little malt and mostly hops, the question is, well, what does this do out in the market? Never mind the oversaturation of IPAs in general. What the hell's the point of having 10 IPAs, like, on a store shelf? Forbes did a little Q&A with Smith, who took it from a marketing perspective. But I feel like you're twitching a little bit. So do you got something to weigh in at this point?
I mean, I get wanting to billboard affect your brand and the benefits on rate of sale that a billboard effect will have and showcasing that brand family. But if you have 12 spots on a fucking grocery store shelf, 10 of them are all the same style, you're cannibalizing sales from every time someone buys a 6-pack, that could have been sales from one of the 9 other brands. And so I feel you're doing more harm than good if you would have had 3 IPAs filled the other 7 spots with something else, or even just taking a smaller billboard effect on the shelf, but you'd have a faster rate of sale, because if someone's like, oh, I want to grab a six-pack of IPA to go drink at home, there's such a thing as too many choices.
Well, and I'd also I note with that of the 10 out of the 10 packaged IPAs that are currently available, their local distributor I think carries 2. So, you know,
well, and then because there's so many choices in the same brand family of the same style, it's going to be kind of peanut buttered across. And so now each one of those looks like they perform worse to the retailer. That means the retail is more apt to cut some of those out of the set next time, further reducing your billboard effect, further costing you sales.
Like I said, Forbes did a little Q&A with Smith, who like she took it on from a marketing perspective, and her take on it was, well, besides that slightly lobotomized tone that the best marketing people use when talking about their brands, what her take is that the delicious IPA is just so freaking delicious, that it's a way of exploring without exploring. Like, you can enjoy all their gluten reduced flavors, and, you know, and while that's nothing, it's nothing earth shattering. That's basically brand loyalty 101. The question
I get it. 4, but you don't need 10 fucking IPAs out at the same time.
Well, guess how many Sierra Nevada has?
How many?
16.
No.
That's according to this article, and now I'm a little skeptical on that myself. I'm not sure what they're counting, but that is what this article said. So Stone isn't even the worst offender in this particular.
Unless they're counting 19.2s, six packs, 12 packs, and mixed packs.
They are absolutely counting all those.
Okay. I thought. Then I take back some of my fucking call-outs. Because I was like, if you have 12 different fucking six-pack SKUs of different IPAs, like, that ain't going to sell.
Well, it's hard to see. I mean, it's hard to get an idea how this is actually, from this article alone and from some research on the side, it's hard to figure out exactly, like, how this is going to be sold to a retailer, because the way it sounds like is there's going to be a mix pack, but they're also, but each incarnation of the delicious IPA is going to be offered by itself, at least, you know, initially. Now, I wouldn't at all be surprised at some point in time if, like, only the top seller or two is offered, and then the rest are only available in a mix pack, which is the way this usually goes.
What I think will happen is you'll have standard delicious in a mix pack or in a standalone. The other three will be available in a standalone, like, rotating series. And then you can get all of them in the mix pack, kind of like Sierra does with the Hazy, the Little Thing series.
One question I particularly liked was, quote, what evidence do you have that shows consumers are savvy enough to differentiate between these IPAs and show loyalty to a particular one? And her answer was essentially, well, if you want to try a hazy and you're a little nervous about what you're going to get, then the Stone Delicious Hazy is a great entry point. Three things in response to that. First, if you want to try a hazy and you get the Stone Delicious Hazy, well, number one, I hoped you liked it, but also I'm fairly certain you still haven't had a hazy. Second, again, brand loyalty 101. And third, she kind of undermines her own point later when she says, quote, generally craft consumers are curious and bold, willing to try new things, while also having their go-to brand. Much of their exploration involves seeking new, exciting flavors. We're also finding that craft consumers want to balance sessional beers with bigger, bolder beers for specific occasions. I don't know how craft consumers function on a wider market. I watch them much as David Attenborough would watch them in my environment. But I would say they have brands they trust, right? And what I often hear, and the talk I often hear is, well, they'll say things like, oh, this brewery always makes good beer, I'll try this one. Or conversely, I don't know, nothing I've had from them is very exciting. So it's less a form of loyalty. It's a business relationship. They do thing they do well, so I got to trust them not to cock it up this time.
Mm-hmm. And I feel most craft beer drinkers also have like their go-to, I can go pick up a 12-pack or mix pack from this brewery, take it to the barbecue I'm going to, and know I'll have a couple, they'll be good, everyone else will have a couple, and I'm not bringing home 8 beers at the end of it with me.
And that's where my observations are a little bit skewed because, I'm at a bottle shop where if you're going to try something a little bit out of your comfort zone, that's where you're going to go. And so it's been a long time since I just watched the average grocery store pleb just go grab a 6-pack, grab the same 6-pack that he always grabs.
But I feel those days are getting smaller and smaller.
Why do you say that?
I feel more people, especially with how beer sets are now, they may most days grab something kind of that same old, but I've done enough grocery store samplings for the brewery I work for where they're like, oh, yeah, I'll try that. Oh, you know what? That was good. I'll grab a 6-pack.
So there's some wiggle room, clearly, but
yeah.
I don't know. Reading this, it was like reading PR statement after PR statement. I believe that, their strategy, and I believe it's roughly similar to everybody else's strategy. See also, Rogue's reinvention of Dead Guy as the Dead Guy family of IPAs. Mm-hmm. See also, Firestone
here locally, Payette with their Sofa King series.
The Sofa King series, everybody's scrambling to basically replicate the Voodoo Ranger experience.
Voodoo Ranger and the Hazy or the Little Thing series are kind of the two predominant ones.
Which came? I mean, I feel like even the Little Thing series from Sierra Nevada was sort of chasing the Voodoo Ranger. It may have been chasing,
but it was early enough in chasing that I don't know if it.
Or they, I mean, they may have stumbled.
They kind of came up together.
I mean, here's my take on it. They may have came up with the same they may have stumbled on the same idea at roughly the same time, but I think Voodoo Ranger, or New Belgium, as Voodoo Ranger used to be called.
No, it used to be called Fat Tire Brewery, let's be honest.
New Belgium recognized it for what it was, and was more purposeful.
Gimmicky?
In that, I'm going to go with purposeful. In what they did, then Sierra Nevada, who I think looked around and said, well, that's basically what we're doing with the Little Things series, so let's just do that. Is that a fair?
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
But let me ask you, so like you're obviously more, you've obviously spent more time in grocery store hell than I have recently, and thank you for that, because it is a hell. Is packaged beer becoming a winner take all game on the shelves? Or maybe I should frame it like this. So beer is going down. The space retailers are portioning out for beer is declining. So getting an entire series, that billboard effect, that you were talking about, is a harder case to make. So in that sense, if you're going to try to get your entire, if your whole marketing strategy is to get your entire series out on the shelf, have you sort of backed yourself into a make or break situation? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, it is very much starting to get that, and especially for a lot of these bigger breweries, like your Sierra, like your New Belgium's, your Firestone's, it's such a tough market right now that single-digit growth, low single-digit growth, sub-5, is doing great. I think I was reading something that's not expected to, like, a lot of those big guys aren't expecting to see any growth of above, like, 3% till at least 2025. Like, everyone's kind of still writing off, like, hey, if we lose less than 5%, if we're between minus 5% and up 2%, we're having a killer year. Like,
shit.
Just don't lose our placements. Like, keep everything on the shelf that we can and just try to ride this out.
But, I mean, even as you were kind of describing earlier, so, you score big, you get, let's say Stone comes out at a bunch of their key accounts guy wins Salesman of the Year in a couple of big chains, and they have the entire delicious stack out in front of people, and people have roughly the same reaction you did 10 years ago, which was, well, either meh or visceral anger, throw it at the window. Is that self-defeating on some level? Because it feels like it is. Because if you're not going to have the whole collection,
it becomes at that point, you're basically working with those retailers, being like, hey, you know, we took a chance here. Here's what the data showed us and why we went that route. And you're banking on having that a strong enough relationship that you go, so we admit that's done. We're going to propose a swap for this next go around where we're getting rid of this, but we're going to replace it with this before they come out and say, we're getting rid of this.
Well, either that or you just go the Sam Adams mixed pack IPA route, which was, listen, how much money do you need to keep this on the shelf? That was my bugaboo when I was in there. They had and you might be going, the Sam Adams IPA mix pack. It was a thing. It might still well be a thing. I never sold one the entire time I was there. I just irritated my distributor reps by demanding that they rotate it. because y'all gonna pay to have it on my shelf. It's gonna be fresh, so that way when nobody, even someone said, no one's gonna buy it, why do you care if it's fresh? I'm like, because you paid to have it on the shelf, so what's another? Anyway, yep. I suppose this isn't too different from when a brewery would put out like a few regular releases with a few special ones. But the branding within the branding, again, chasing the voodoo IPA model, it feels like a surrender to a new convention, you know, and it just seems like it's going to be like, not only is it a competition that only a few breweries can win, but the winners have already established themselves. Like, Voodoo Ranger and the Little Things series are it. Maybe Firestone Walker. There's not a lot of room for any more, I don't think. So, I'm sort of hoping that this trend goes away. But is it, or is people gonna still try?
I'd be surprised if it goes away in the next couple of years. Yeah, they have the majority of the market share, but if you can steal a little bit of that, and especially if you have national distribution and you can steal a half a percent or a percent from New Belgium, like, that's a lot of case equivalents, man.
Fair enough. Tyler, what's next?
Well, we had talked last week on how the video of the brewer getting blasted across the brewery by a spewing beer tank.
Well, I referenced it in my extremely witty intro that you were more bemused by and you didn't really get it, but you finally seen the video.
I have. Back Channel Brewing Company, the brewery that the incident occurred at in Spring Park, Minnesota, is trying to make the most out of this situation. They eventually got the IPA to stop spewing all over the brewery.
I mean, that doesn't stop until it stops. There's no button you can hit. There's just the thing I found most both adorable and identified so much with was after he was blasted across the room and got up and was like one hand in front of the other, like trying to in very Dutch boy fashion, trying to just block the torrent of beer coming out. What the video didn't show was when he just steps back, which I'm sure happened at some point in time. You just step back and go, this there's
so. It was due to a valve malfunction, and him and another worker were able to salvage the batch.
I mean, some of it. Obviously not the several gallons that ended up blasting him across the floor of the brewery or lost subsequently.
Yes, but Back Channel Brewing had just... announced the release for the new beer on Instagram called Blowback New England IPA. And they did want to caution their fans that this is going to be a very limited release. So. So if anyone's in the Spring Park, Minnesota area and wants to go get a, this beer and send it to us, we'd be greatly appreciative, and you wouldn't even have to get blasted by a fermenter.
The beer that made Spring Creek, Minnesota internet famous. Tyler, you had something else for us.
Yeah, this is an article from Axios talking about how dry January is trending to become dry February and beyond.
Listen, you can just not drink anymore. You can just say, you can just look around and say, you know, I'm going to call it quits, or, you know, I'm not going to drink anymore, or I just don't feel like drinking for the next few months, or I don't know. I just don't feel like drinking and we'll see what happens. You don't have to start naming months after it, you goddamned assholes.
Yeah. So according to,
you can just do things. It doesn't need to be a hashtag. Hashtag do things.
So, according to Katie Seaton, yeah, I saw what you did there. Katie Seaton from Google Trends, the search term dry February is being Googled more than ever in the U.S., with interest going up 30% higher than last February. And search interest for dry January increased every January since 2014. As well as searches for damp January.
I prefer like, moist January.
What I don't get is why are you having to Google this? Like, dry January. Pretty self-explanatory.
Because that's how that's how we function in society anymore. You have to Google it first to make sure it's something that actually is a thing and not just something your idiot friend told you, like anchovy hops.
Yeah, right. Taking a look at the sales data for the first 4 weeks of January at mass retailers, at grocery, drug, liquor, and convenience stores from 2020 to 2024, here's what the sales were in January for non-alcoholic beers. 2020, $13.5 million.
Okay.
2021, $19.5 million.
Okay.
2022, $23 million.
Okay. Stealing my butthole here.
$31.8 million.
There we go. That's
This year came in at a whopping $42.7 million of sales.
Good job, Athletic. Way to be. What do you think? Where do you think they're going to rank it at this year's craft brewery ratings? If you had to, because
they'll move up.
They were what, 26th last year? What do you forecast this year? Do you think they're going to break the top 15?
I'm guessing 12.
Okay. You think they're going to make the top 12?
Well, funny enough, you brought them up. Athletic Brewing Company.
There are others in the market, but. Come on, who are we really talking about on a national level?
Well, Whole Foods now sells more non-alcoholic Athletic beer than any other brand of beer with or without of alcohol in their stores.
Good God. That's disturbing on several levels.
That's impressive.
I'm going with disturbing.
Congratulations, like, I'll drink an Athletic, but, like, that's dedication right there.
I mean, congrats to them for having their fingers on a pulse that we...
No one knew was there before?
I mean, yeah. That was bloody amazing, and we've talked about this. We talked about the story of the rise of Athletic... Oh, probably about a year ago. I don't know. Go search through our archives. This was Tyler's story. I didn't go look it up.
But yeah, it's crazy. And with more and more non-alcoholic options and places, including mocktails on their menu and non-alcoholic wine and alcohol-free beer, it's only going to get more and more prevalent. And the sober curious movement's not losing any steam.
But I mean, I still want to stress, I mean, it's an interesting direction that the industry has taken, but at the same point, we're still talking about, I mean, 100% increase in like 5% of the market is respectable, but it's not earth shattering.
No, and let's be honest, it's Whole Foods this is the best seller at.
Which,
so it's
going to
be more
health, that tracks.
Health conference. Yeah. If you said Athletic took over at Walmart or Albertsons or a fucking gas station, I'd be like, the end is near.
We are truly living in the end times.
Jeremy, what do we got?
The opposite of that. Pizza and beer news now. Truly the opposite of Whole Foods. Possibly the greatest combination of food and booze on the planet. It's grease, it's cheese, it's bread, and it deserves to be washed down with a refreshing brew. Why make it more complicated than that? The answer is because we can. This comes from the tasting table, and they went through, with the help of a certified Cicerone, and Baraka. They took several different styles of pizza, paired them with several different styles of beer. They picked the best ones, the best beer styles to go with popular styles of pizza. And so I thought we would go through their list and see how they did. The first pizza, the OG, the classic, one of the only dishes that we would consider a pizza that actually has its roots in Italy. It's super simple. Hand-tossed dough, tomato sauce, mozzarella, and basil. Selected by Queen Margherita in 1889 because the ingredients matched the Italian tricolor flag, it's the Margherita Pizza. What beer goes with that?
Ooh. My guess would, like...
I know their pick, so I have to rely on you for this one, but my first thought would be...
My first is going to say, like, a real... strong backbone pilsner. Nice crisp. It's got enough like substance in the flavor that it's going to stand up to the flavors of the pizza, but not going to overpower them. and be a nice blend.
The Cicerone's response was Saison. Light and funky.
Oh, okay.
Won't overpower the delicate flavors, but a nice funky twist will help add a bit of bite, and it's still refreshing enough so for the salt, for the salty sauce and cheese. Since the food you're eating is very simple, the beverage is a little bit complex. So it's a bit of a contrast that made sense to me. So this one, I was like, yeah, that sounds actually amazing. All right.
I wasn't too far off though.
No. All right. Next up, pepperoni pizza. If you need an explanation of what this is, then you obviously didn't grow up in this country. And if you did, your parents are, I would argue, guilty of some form of abuse. Pepperoni pizza. What do you pair it with?
I'm going to go porter.
Really? Why porter?
I want something with a little bigger backbone, kind of get that roastiness coming in, just to help cut through that grease, kind of round out the bigger flavors.
All right. My first thought was, I mean, why – my hot take was, well, why – again, this is like, why mess with perfection? Just an American lager, Pabst, would be perfect. But she suggests, and I'm like, ooh, even better one-up, Czech Pilsner, which, I mean, take the pepperoni pizza, take your average salt content, wrap that up to 11, plus the spiciness of the pepperoni, the richness of the cheese – Unless you're a communist, you got that kind of pepperoni that curls a bit, so you get that little tiny shot of pure grease in every bite.
Yep.
That's, like I said, Czech Pilsner, like it's a little bit crisper, it's a little bit lighter, but it's also got a decent load of bitterness that will just that will again provide that nice contrast. So that one was like, oh God, yes. How have I not been drinking Czech Pilsner with about every pizza ever? All right, next pizza. Meat Lovers, a pizza born out of the American need for genuine excess. It follows a maxim that if some is more, good must be better. Sausage, pepperoni, another kind of sausage, cheese, yet more sausage, at least two more other animals. You could weigh in at under 100 pounds before taking a bite, but after one slice, you're going to feel like a fat piece of shit. Tyler, what do you pair with this?
West Coast IPA. More is better, baby.
See, now that was my thinking too. I'm like, with my hot take was like, oh, come on, you got to go IPA on this one. So, and this one I'm a little bit dubious. Her pick I'm a little bit dubious on. She picked brown ale. And she hedges more towards a British brown ale, mentioning actually like she mentions
more sweetness to go with the savory.
She mentions not Newcastle. God, I forget. But she mentions also Maduro from Cigar City, which is actually more of an English style than that. But she's like, yeah, something with some caramely malty sweetness. It makes sense, like the sweet and the salty. But my problem was like brown ales are very neutral and. That's a lot of flavor to stand up to.
Yeah.
So I think it could work if you were selective about your brown ale.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. I figure Meat Lovers, IPA, they're both about as American as apple pie.
Chicago deep dish. For those people who have a slice of pizza and think to themselves, that was really good, but I wish, oh, how I wish there was more bread. Like, if every slice could basically be a loaf of bread, and the middle could be just undercooked, so it's like sucking down a big ball of wet dough. God, that would be my dream. Make it a reality. I'm not a huge fan myself. I don't know about you.
I'm kind of indifferent on it. I'm not a, like, deep dish fan, but I'm not going to be pissed. And I'm not offended like you, apparently.
It's just a lot of fucking bread, and it's never cooked all the way. But all right, so that style, what do you pair that with?
Oh, I.
So my hot take was thinking like a sour of some variety, and that was like, well,
do a goza.
My hot take was like, well, actually more of like a really like a lambic or something, and not like the Lidman's, like a really like a really tart lambic, to like, again, just enough acid to cut through that a little bit, but at some point in time that, I don't know, what do you,
yeah, I,
what?
Malort.
That's, it's not a beer.
Nope. But deep dish Chicago pizza is a loaf of bread, not pizza.
And suggests a Belgian tripel. So there are several theories when it comes to food pairings. But you know, it's basically contrasting and complementing. And this feels like just going all in on just rich decadence. The pizza is rich and thick, less a pie, more of a casserole of sauce and cheese. So yeah, a rich, bready, fruity beer coming in at 8 to 11% or so. It's just giving in. And actually, come to think of it, I kind of want to try those two together. I'm like, yeah, this is happening. This is basically like last meal action, right? You know, this very last meal energy.
You fall into the diabetic coma.
Next up, Hawaiian pizza. I'm not going to get into the debate, okay? You may be for or against pineapple on pizza, but exists and make peace with this. There are many things you humans do that I don't approve of. I mostly just move on. That being said, I've got to be in the right mood, but I like it. I wouldn't order one for myself, but if I'm out somewhere and there are several pizzas and one of them is Hawaiian, I might get me a slice. Sweet, salty, you got a winning combination right there. Canadian bacon is not a thing. It's fucking ham. That shit literally does not exist anywhere else but the pizza world, so just say ham. Tyler, what beer?
A trash can.
So not a pineapple on pizza person, I'm guessing.
No.
Somehow I assumed that about you.
I mean, safe bet. But I would say pepper beer.
Ooh. That's another level of contrast. I like that one. That's actually better than what she suggested. So my hot take is like, ooh, this one I really didn't
specifically
have.
Specifically, if you could do like a pepper pale ale or a lager or a blonde ale.
Hard to get a hold of, but I think you're onto something there. But yeah, pepper beer would be nice. I really didn't have
like
anything.
Barley Brown's like jalapeno blonde ale.
And suggested a German Hefeweizen. And again, doubling down on the sweetness. Like, if anything but pineapple is... If anything, like, the pineapple is adding the contrast with a little bit of acid, which would otherwise just be a lot of dough with a touch of fruit. Even thinking about this one, like, at first I wasn't on board, but the more I thought about it, I'm like, well, actually, the pineapple already kind of works because there's a contrast. And so if you just enhance one side of it, then you get even... more of a contrast. I don't know.
I mean, Hef plays well in my mind, so
we're getting a little bit into the into is that really pizza area here, so bear with me. Mushroom pizza. I don't think I've ever had a straight mushroom pizza. Tyler?
I have. That also had like a balsamic reduction on it.
Well,
it was
aren't
really
you
good.
Fucking fancy.
Yeah. And goat cheese. So it was mushrooms, goat cheese, and a balsamic reduction.
Well, what would you pair with that?
Pair with that one? I'm going oatmeal stout.
Justify that.
Sweeter finish to kind of sweeten up the big, robust, roasty, thicker mouthfeel is going to pair with kind of like the earthier tones of the mushrooms, as well as the sweeter finish compared to the acidicness coming off that balsamic.
Okay. That's as good a suggestion as our Cicerone had, because she suggested beer de garde, which I feel like you're just throwing something at the wall at that point. Beer de garde is, in short, a kind of fucked up lager, but in more detail, it's fucking kind of whatever you want it to be. Like, it's dark except for when it isn't. It's like light in alcohol except for when it isn't. It's usually made of lager yeast. Yeah, it's usually made of lager yeast, but you know, but it doesn't need to be, and it should have some funk. And again, it's if you fuck up a beer, you just kind of shrug and go, "Oh, it's a beer de garde." And so now she does mention Two Brothers Beer de Garde, and it's like amber in color. Caramely, crisp. It's got this like real light touch of funk. it was only briefly available here in town, and I really, really loved it. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, well, you're kind of reaching there, but you might have something. I don't know. All right. Next one up, vegetarian pizza. Far be it from me to judge, but I've always equated vegetarian pizza with light cigarettes. You're eating a pizza, buddy. Eat the hell out of it, okay? But
just order a margarita, like
I mean, like a vegetarian pizza. What do you pair with it?
Fuck, I don't know, man. Barrel aged barley wine,
just to drown out the flavor of the pizza altogether. Just
I want to forget that I'm eating a vegetarian pizza
because that's what you'd have to be drinking, and you'd have to be on Tyler's fifth one before someone says, Tyler, why are you eating a vegetarian pizza? Like, there's a pizza there.
I thought there was meat on it when I picked it up.
And at that point in time, you're just shoveling food in your mouth.
Yeah.
Of all the places. It's kind of hard to figure out, like, because IPA for a lot of these, it would be a natural pairing. And I was wondering where IPA was gonna land. This is where she put it. Double IPA, Pliny the Elder specifically. She particularly mentions that it's almost a shame that we don't have like a video version of this podcast, because the convulsions that Tyler's face just went through is an essay in of itself. Tyler, please, before I give her a suggestion, you have something to get off your chest, clearly.
So Pliny the Elder, gonna be very bright, dank, that old school double IPA. Like, I'm not getting how that pairs up with a vegetarian pizza. Now, maybe I'm just not thinking same toppings as her for a vegetarian pizza. So
about that. So she particularly mentions that that it would go well with a pizza that features caramelized veggies, wherein like you got like broccoli or zucchini or peppers, cauliflower, other stuff that have been cooked and then put on the pizza and then caramelized while the pizza bakes. And she thought that caramelized sweetness with the vegetal notes would pair especially well with the IPA's grassy, earthy notes, which actually when I thought about, like, well, actually that actually it sounds kind of good.
Okay.
I was trying to, my hot take when I was reading this was like British bitter, but kind of for the same reason, like something earthier, bitter, and kind of light, but.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that justification makes sense. As soon as she was talking about that, I was like, oh, okay. That's adding up with don't know much about vegetarian pizza, apparently. So,
and you don't, and which would surprise any person who met you, because if you just look at Tyler and you go, there is a man who enjoys a vegetarian pizza, if there ever was one.
Hey, sometimes I go sans meat, you know, go OG with the margarita.
How about a seafood pizza? I've recently discovered the amazingness that is anchovies and cheese. It is a thing. Like, I don't know why I've been told by television through the 90s that fish on pizza was wrong, but it fucking isn't. And look, I'm a convert, okay? I just recently found this out. I'm like, how has this not been a thing my entire life? But as for a whole seafood pizza, I haven't tried it, but I'd give it a shot. I don't know. Tyler, have you at the same place you got your with your mushroom pizza, a little reduction on it that they didn't have, a you know, like lobster bisque or something?
No, but in my head I'm imagining like it's either got some crab meat or some shrimp on it, maybe a little clams. Initially my head went oyster stout and really just try to drive home some of that seafood characteristic. I'm almost thinking old school 5% pale ale.
Good choice. Justify that.
I just want kind of that more rounded out citrusy flavor, but I need something with a little more malt backbone to kind of help balance out the hefty flavors coming off that seafood and to kind of mesh together. So that would be my choice. Or a pale ale That is a single hop pale ale with anchovy hops.
Go fuck yourself. Your instincts are pretty good. She suggests a German Helles, which makes sense for a lot of the same reasons you're just talking about. You got the pils. I mean, it's the same reason that Pilsner and pepperoni kind of makes sense. A light, refreshing beer to cut through the salt, but with a notably maltier profile, as the bitterness would probably clash a little bit with the seafood, I would think. But no, I think that's a pretty good instinct. All right. Next on the docket, white pizza. For those who consider tomato sauce extraneous, I've never had one of these. Well, I've never had one of these that I was really into. Basically, you take it's just no tomato sauce. It's like usually a mix of cheeses, a lot of times caramelized onions. Have you not had one of these at your fancy at your fancy pizza parties where you do a balsamic reduction on top of it, and it's served by a man with a little tiara. Here's your pizza.
A white pizza. Okay.
I mean, you know, a white pizza both in color and in culture. There's the very idea of like, oh, that's white as fuck. What would you pair
PBR.
That with?
PBR.
PBR. All right, why?
Both are hipster as shit.
Good instinct. My hot take was, okay, well, this is where I'd put IPA, but... now, this is where Anne says pale ale, and specifically Sierra Nevada. So, going with what you were talking about, like an old school, like, pale ale. But, you know what? I was actually thinking the same thing as you. I was actually thinking that, like, pale ale with the vegetable pizza would be slightly better. But since pale ale and IPA are basically the same now, who gives a fuck? Moving on. Barbecue pizza, for those who worry about getting judged for pouring sugar straight on their pizza. Barbecue pizza is just fucking wrong. It's disgusting. This is the only one I'm like truly against.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of like barbecue pizzas or like I'm not even a big fan of barbecue sauce on hamburgers. Like
it's just so fucking sweet. I'm like, if I wanted this, I just would have put fucking chocolate sauce on it, you goddamn diabetic motherfucker. But what would you pair it with? You're gonna kick yourself when you hear this one, because it's like this is like I felt like the most obvious one, and it was like the one hot take I had where I'm like, okay, yep, that matches right up.
Like in my head I'm like, I need something really bitter to cut through that sweetness.
How about smoky?
Oh,
see, there you go. Like, she suggests a German roast.
You a Rochefort?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I that one almost seemed too easy to me. But again, if you're gonna stomach,
actually, hold on.
You're gonna change your
smoked Helles.
But anything from the Schlenke lineup, I think. I mean, she basically just said German Roche beer, specifically from that brewery. Mm. So yeah, the smoked Helles. I think I might go with the smoked Martzen, and then drink a few of those and toss the pizza in the garbage can right next to the pineapple. But all right, next up, calzone. What the devil used for a blueprint when he designed the Hot Pocket? You take a pizza, you wrap it around itself. Ta-da, a calzone. Tyler, what do you pair with this?
This one I struggle with, kind of like the Chicago, because it depends what type of calzone are we getting. What's in the calzone like?
I don't know. Let your imagination run wild. What is in your calzone? I mean, it's typically like what you're getting on a pizza. So mix of sausage, pepperoni, some mushrooms, probably.
You know what? I can get behind the brown ale for this one.
Why brown ale for this one?
I mean, you're getting more of that bread, more of the savory. Like you said, it's going to be typically a decent amount of meat in there. Less sauce that could potentially be sweetening it up. So take the sweetness coming off the beer.
Okay. Goza was the pick on this one. I'm actually rather stunned that this was the place where a sour beer finally makes its appearance. I mean, I guess the benefit of clear is a bit of tart with a little bit of saltiness. I mean, really, it could go with like any of the heavier pizzas we discussed. Although, actually, I was thinking that the missing acidity on the white pizza later would like a Goza would like help that like make you go, you know what, this is better with like tomato sauce. Why are we doing this to ourselves? I don't know. They had a good system and we fucked it up. I don't know why we did that, but. And I'm sort of surprised Berliner Weiss didn't make an appearance anywhere on this list. But we are now at the end with one more. The dessert pizza. It exists because there are pizza bars that can still shove more food down their pig-like patrons' faces. And if they convince them it's just pizza. You know, you take a... nothing about this is authentic or even holy. But... a dessert pizza. What do you pair with it? Or just dessert? What do you?
Pumpkin beer.
Pumpkin. Well, that makes sense. But I mean, I think your thinking is obvious. But take it through. Take us through it.
I mean, I want those kind of pumpkin spices coming through to complement the sweet. Also, typically on the dessert beers I've seen, or dessert like pizzas I've seen, like cinnamon and like roasted apples. So, kind of. Be drinking the apple pie equivalent as well.
The Cicerone says porter or stout for the same reason that one might enjoy a coffee with dessert, because you got that like roasty flavors. But which to my response is, well, then go full out, like go like a big coffee porter or a big coffee stout. That actually sounds amazing. I think I want to do that for the, like the next like beer dessert pairing, because again, coffee and sweetness kind of go along together. So a big ass coffee, like one of those that
we should have planned this out and had me come over with my pizza oven and we fucking knock out pizza for each one.
Just for like, just sit here and gorge on pizzas for several hours.
We just take a slice of each.
We'd be drunk, full, fat, and happy. Yeah, you should have done that. We can still do that. We don't, you know, we maybe even record it. I don't know. I mean, there's nothing preventing us from going through this list on our own and, you know, seeing what she says has much merit. But you know what? Let's just say your beer and pizza game has now been maximized. If you don't get the absolute complete enjoyment out of both, you know what? At this point, it's really your own fault. We've done our part. So go forth and have the ultimate beer pizza orgasms together. Tyler, before we tow this thing back home, you have an announcement for us, I believe.
Well, I do, but first, okay, I do want to also say Beer Business Daily tweeted out yesterday that PepsiCo will be dismantling Blue Cloud Distribution and will settle for a licensing model. To no one's surprise, it was a brash and bold experiment that ultimately pushed up against the immovable force of beer wholesalers.
I was going to say, no, it was pushed up against the immovable force of basic common sense. I like how they blame the beer wholesalers.
We did also talk about how, like, wholesalers were trying to, like, push them out. They were pissed that Pepsi was trying to slide into their turf. And
yeah, but if you're really, I mean, they didn't help the situation. In fact, I mean, they kind of narked on them. In fact, didn't kind of. There were instances where they full on narked on them. But if you're really going to point the finger at the thing that killed it, it wasn't beer distributors. It was the three-tier system and how it's weirdly policed or not randomly in each state.
Yeah.
So the whole thing was, their entire business model seemed to be, can we get away with this? Like, I don't know. Let's try. And the answer was, yeah, some places, but
sometimes.
As the only person on this podcast that actually tried the hard Mountain Dew, are we missing out much?
Oh, they're not getting rid of it.
Oh, Christ.
It's, they're basically just going to move it to typical beer distribution.
They're just going to do what they should.
Instead of trying to run their own beer distribution company, they're going to tuck tail and say, we're sorry.
Which is always a fucking weird thing to do. Like, the mechanism is in place. I understand, Pepsi, you are used to just, like, bringing your fat, sugary ass into any place you go and dominating everything, but there's a system in place. You could just kind of use that system. Or not.
Yeah, but I mean, it made sense because they were already having their employees in stores. So if you just have them run over to the beer aisle, throw the stuff, bada bing, bada boom.
Well, only, but I mean, well, I guess it depends on how easily you can have your Pepsi employees be Blue Cloud employees as well. But I'm not sure what the because I mean, Blue Cloud was literally that was right, wasn't it? It's Blue Cloud. It was literally its own thing. It was a beer distribution company that existed solely to distribute hard Mountain Dew, which is I don't know. It's a bit like buying a car for the express purpose of running it into a cliff.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't run it into a cliff. You'd run it off of a cliff, but...
No, you'd run it into a cliff because you're like, why don't you just run it off a cliff? That'd be even more spectacular. You destroyed this in the least interesting way. even the way you... even your stupid idea was done stupidly. So I stand by my my analogy.
All right. Well, so my announcement, I will be retiring from the podcast. Life's just getting a little busy. Work's getting busier. And so the fact gone on almost 5 years doing this, getting a little bored, and also just getting busier and busier each month. And so I was like, you know what, time for me to step away. So our last episode with Tyler is going to be probably first or second weekend of April, and we'll do something fun for it.
He says, for Tyler, I'm throwing out Tyler's done with the podcast. I don't blame him. It's getting increasingly honestly, I've been kind of, as I'm doing this myself, going, how long do we keep going? Because 5 years is a great run, but it's we're past the heyday. And at what point in time, you know, how much time do I want to spend trying to scrape up a beer news before we just accept the fact that maybe beer news is once every other week or once a month, or maybe it can be covered in, you know, a once a year format. I have no idea, but I haven't decided whether I am completely done with the concept. I mean, on one hand, Tyler's not wrong. It happened to him first, where you kind of look around going, there's too much shit going on and something's got to go. Maybe the thing I'm spending hours on and not getting paid is that thing. I haven't hit that. I'm not sure if I hit that yet. So I'm kind of putting out after selling it as much as I already have. Again, 5 years. I'm really selling it here. But 5 years is a long time to have put this out there and not like fight for it, or at least do that, like, you know, little like hand slappy fight for it. So yeah. So this is my official, like, soft, you know, offer. If you've been listening to this podcast and you're like, listening to us, and especially when Tyler speaks, you're like, well, I could do that. And I don't sound like a demented dwarf. Or I do sound like a demented dwarf, and this would be perfect. This would be perfect opportunity for me. Hit me up. You can reach me on in all the places I will tell you about in just a second. We'll see. I'm pretty much at this point in time expecting to close out this podcast at roughly almost the exact 5-year mark, which is, again, this is it's a pretty good achievement. But if you're listening to this and like, no, keep it going, you motherfucker, step up. We'll see what happens. But for now,
we'll sell you the podcast.
Or if you're like, no, we don't want either of you assholes, we want to do it ourselves, I'd be like, I guess.
Here you go.
We can remove ourselves from it entirely. I didn't even think of that one. You can just, like, someone from somewhere completely, like, there are two other assholes that are like, no, we just want to do what you're doing. I guess my response to that would be, well, then do it. It's not, there's not, like, you didn't need to
do
wait.
Do you want the name?
I was going to say, it's not that great of a name. The graphic I designed half drunk in a... everything this podcast is built on was thrown up in like an afternoon when Tyler said he wanted to do this. So I'm just saying, if that was your barrier for entry, I guess it's your lucky day. Tyler, besides that earth-shattering remark, do you have anything else to add?
That's it for me.
Well, this has been It's All Beer. Again, if you're listening, you're like, I'm curious to find out more. Well, you can get a hold of us at itsallbeer@gmail.com, or I should say, you can only get a hold of me. I'm the only one that talks to anybody else outside of
the
podcast.
Sometimes the Facebook Messenger.
And Tyler talks to me. You can get a hold of us at itsallbeer@gmail.com, on our social, Instagram, It's All Beer, on Facebook, at It's All Beer. If you want to keep this podcast going, hit me up. And if not, you know what? 5 years is a good run. But we're not quite done yet. We've got the rest of March, that we're going to continue doing our normal episodes. And before we wrap up all of craft beer in April, and I mean the whole thing, we'll be able to give you a definitive endpoint in April. I'm sure of that. And with that promise that I'll be able to uphold without problem, I'm Jeremy Jones.
I'm Tyler Zimmerman.
I'm gonna have a beer.
Have fun.
Maybe a pizza. What in the actual fuck is up with the levels? All right. Give me
Have
some
you tried turning it off and turning it back on again?
I'm going to turn you off and turn you back on.
That sounds sexual.
Kind of did. It sounded that way after I was halfway through it. But you know what? I'm like, we're just gonna punch it hard. We're going to punch it fast. And we're going to leave us both hot
and
sweaty.
And just really pound it home? Yeah.
We're just going to... gotta go ahead and go all the way in, and we're not gonna stop until one of us is a daddy.
Well, both of us are a dad, so this is awkward.